Please turn with me to Job chapter 28. Chapter 28. It's deja vu all over again. In the introduction to systematic theology course that a number are going through on Thursday evenings, we talked about the subject of wisdom this last week, and I thought we might revisit Job chapter 28. I thought that would be profitable for you this evening. It has been a year since we looked at it last time. Year. Job chapter 28. This is God's holy word. Give it your full attention as it is read. Surely there is a mine for silver and a place for gold that they refine. Iron is taken out of the earth and copper is smelted from the ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches out to the farthest limit, the ore and gloom and deep darkness. He opens shafts in a valley away from where anyone lives. They are forgotten by travelers. They hang in the air far away from mankind. They swing to and fro. As for the earth, out of it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the place of sapphires, and it has dust of gold. That path no bird of prey knows, and the falcon's eye has not seen it. The proud beasts have not trodden it. The lion has not passed over it. Man puts his hand to the flinty rock and overturns mountains by the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams so that they do not trickle, and the thing that is hidden he brings out to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, we have heard a rumor of it with our ears. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. As far as the reading of God's word, let us pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for blessing us with your word, and we pray that you be with us now by your Holy Spirit, who inspired it and who now will bring illumination to us and better understanding. We pray that you be with the preacher, despite his sin and weakness, to proclaim your word properly with boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you remember back long, long ago, when we first approached Job chapter 28, we saw a change in the style of Job's speech. He has finished with his defense, and now he has turned to proclaim this hymn, this poem about wisdom. You see the intricate patterns that he goes through as he talks about it. He talks about it in a very poetic kind of way, about mining, about the far ends of the earth, about all the different kinds of gold and silver and stones. Ladies, I know you were paying attention to that, right? And then he talks about all the places where it's not. He builds up an anticipation, right? It's not here. The sea says it's not here. Death says it's not here. The birds have not seen it. The animals have not seen it either. But God knows it and has established it and has made it known, has revealed it to man. For Job, the painful truth is that true wisdom has not been found in the speeches of his three friends. They've said a lot of things that are true, but they have been misapplied. Wisdom is often referred to as knowledge applied. So they've said things that are true, but they're not true in Job's case. They have brought him foolish counsel. He begins by speaking about mines, tunnels that men dig down into the earth to search for valuable minerals and other geological materials. Anything that we need, that we can't grow, we have to get from the earth. We have to mine it out, dig it out. If it doesn't come up out of the ground, then you have to go down there and get it yourself. This includes oil and natural gas. Job sees how wondrous it is that we can do this, that we can dig these precious things out of the ground, refine them for our use. We've been doing this for a long time. Remember that Job is speaking of the mining technology that existed over 4,000 years ago. He says, man puts an end to darkness. As God's appointed stewards of his creation, man takes dominion over the earth, even over her dark, cavernous recesses that are far away from where people live and where travelers go. And you may have visited some of those places, some caverns and caves that were kind of hidden from man and that have been discovered. And now electricity has been run down into them, and you can go down in there and pay a sum of money to check out these caves and caverns. I enjoy doing that. I would not enjoy spelunking or exploring them on my own, but now that they've been tamed, I enjoy going into them, seeing the stalactites and the stalagmites and everything else. Job marvels at the wonder of how bread comes up from the ground. Does bread come from the ground, kids? That's a trick question. In a sense, it does, because what we use to make it comes from the ground. The wheat and the grain that we use grows, and we harvest it, or other people do, and we buy it at the store. And then they make it into bread. And yet, under the ground is great fire, Job says. Underground is turned up by great fire. What do you think he's talking about? This great fire under the ground. Lava, right? Where do you see that when lava comes out of the ground? Where does that happen? That's right, in volcanoes. That's where you see this hot, molten rock that exists under the earth's surface come out through cracks and holes and spew out all over the place. And you want to stay clear of those. This dark, fiery belly of the earth contains wonderful, marvelous things. And Job takes a good bit of while to talk about them. He talks about sapphire and gold and silver and onyx. It contains riches, things that are valuable to mankind, things that are rare and are of great worth to people. Not even the hawk, the falcon, or the eagle can see down into the earth to find these treasures. These birds are known for their incredible eyesight. Right? They can see a long way off. And a hawk can see a little field mice scurrying along in the field and swoop down and snatch it up. But no matter how superior their eyesight is to ours, they cannot go down into the earth to see the store of riches below and to bring it up and refine it for use. The lion, the king of the jungle, the most ferocious and powerful of beasts, has not seen it either, Job says. His paws have not touched it. Only mankind has the ability to mine the earth. He, as Job says, puts his hand to the flinty rock and overturns mountains by the roots. He brings out into the light of day that which was hidden underground. And if you ever have the opportunity to go up to places like Ouray, you can see what men have done as they have tunneled into the earth and formed mines to bring out, in that case, silver ore. Silver ore. Man, the crown of God's creation, has this gift. He can find all these precious things in the heart of the earth. However, he does not find wisdom there. No matter how many riches and wonderful things he can pull out of the earth, he may find gold and silver and other things of great material value. He cannot find wisdom there. He cannot find wisdom and bring it up and obtain it on his own. So where is wisdom, Job asks? Where is this place of understanding? Wisdom is invaluable. Man does not fully understand its worth. When we say that something is invaluable, usually that means it's just going to cost you a lot. However, the worth of wisdom can't be calculated to any amount of zeros behind a dollar. It cannot be purchased, Job said. It cannot be exchanged or bartered for, no matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter. He says, there's no amount. It is impossible. You cannot purchase wisdom. Not only that, but there is no mine for it. There's nowhere you can go and dig for it and get it yourself. It's not found in the land of the living. It's not found in the deepest caverns of the earth or the sea. And it's not found in the land of the dead. Job repeats his question from verse 12 and verse 20. From where then does wisdom come? Where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Where is it? He asks rhetorically. If it can't be mined, it can't be bought, where does it come from? How do we get it? How do we acquire it? It's hidden from all living creatures, he says. However, the location of wisdom is not lost. It is not a complete mystery because, he says, God knows. Verse 23. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. God is the one who has created it, who has established it. It is he who holds the storehouses of wisdom, true treasure beyond all value. It is he who contains it. We read in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. The depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, Paul says. It was when God created the universe and the earth along with it, when he weighed the wind, as Job says, when he measured out and apportioned all the different parts of his creation, then he established wisdom. It was at the time of creation that God declared it. He established it as its creator, knowing it intimately. He carefully designed it. He knows its limits. He understands its essence. He is the source of all true wisdom. Apart from the source of wisdom, there is no participation in it. It cannot be acquired apart from God. Man cannot get it on its own. It must come from God. Psalm 104, verse 24 says, O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Job says that God said to man, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. God has wisdom. He is the only one who has it to give. And he has revealed it to you. He has revealed it to man. He does not give it to any other creature, but only to his image bearers. He says, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. To turn away from evil is understanding. He says, fear me and turn from evil. Which can also be called repentance and faith. Turning from evil and turning to serve the Lord, to fear him. In fact, this is exactly how God characterized his finest servant Job at the beginning of the book. There is none like him on the earth, God said. A blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Job has wisdom. He fears God and turns from evil. He has true wisdom. God was characterizing Job as a wise man, his true and faithful servant. What does it mean to fear God? What does it mean to turn from evil? Wisdom isn't intellect or intelligence. It's not how smart you are. It does not depend upon your IQ. Wisdom is submission. It is submitting your entire life to God as an offering. It is devoting your every thought and action to his honor and to his glory. As you grow in your obedience to God, as you continually turn away from evil, as you grow in your knowledge of his word, so shall you grow in wisdom. Wisdom is living in a right relationship to God, living according to his word, patterning your life carefully after God's command. That is wisdom. This is the working out of a healthy love, a healthy fear of God, and turning from evil in all areas of life. Apostle Paul explains to the Colossians, And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You notice his prayer there. That in being filled with spiritual wisdom, that is shown by walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. It is shown in how they live in service to God. Fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Biblical wisdom. Read in Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. A wise man leads a life disciplined by God's word. Parents, this is why we discipline our children, to teach them the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 29, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. There is no wisdom intrinsic to this world. There is no secret knowledge or understanding to be found in crystals, in smells, in astrology, in rock gardens. They will not impart to you true wisdom. This is not to say that there is not great value in the study of nature and creation, because there is. There is great value, and we've been seeing that in Job chapter 38, and how we learn more about God as we study Him and the wisdom of His creation. However, true wisdom, which is extremely valuable, cannot be obtained from the things of this world. They cannot be obtained from natural revelation. You can spend your life on a mountaintop, immersed in the majesty and beauty of creation, and never know true wisdom. You can ponder the meaning of life and give yourself to all sorts of causes, philanthropy, volunteering your time and your money for the good of others. You can live a life of asceticism, forsaking the desires of the flesh, and yet never have an ounce of true wisdom. What do you value? Do you value gold and silver, money, things? Or do you seek that which is truly valuable, the wisdom of God? Don't waste your life digging for earthly riches. Instead, mine the riches of wisdom in God's word. What is the value of Christ? What dollar amount could you place on salvation? What is the value of eternal life and glory? You can't put a dollar amount on those things. They're invaluable. They're more valuable than anything we could ever try to buy it with. Even if we had all the money in the world, all the gold in Fort Knox, if there's even gold there anymore. This is true wisdom. Christ is your true wisdom. The wisdom of God is revealed in the person and work of your risen Savior, Jesus. Any religious pursuit apart from Christ is folly. The wisdom of God is revealed in the salvation purchased by Christ. The foolishness of the cross is the wisdom of God. There are many things in this life that have the appearance of wisdom, but apart from God's word, they are nothing. Paul says to the Colossians in chapter 2, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's completing Job chapter 28 here, isn't he? If you're looking for the mine where wisdom is, it is Christ. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're not to be found in the earth. They're not to be found in the sea. They're not to be found in the air or in death. They are found only in Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, I'm going to turn there briefly. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. And when he's speaking of the wise here, he's speaking of the wise in the world's eyes. Men that the world would say, these are wise men, learned men. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Which is not true wisdom at all. Right? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. So you see the play on words here. When he speaks of folly, it's folly in the eyes of the world to preach the cross of Christ. But that is true wisdom. That is what true wisdom is. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring about things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Now he's speaking about true wisdom. He's saying, I didn't come with you in wisdom. And he's talking about worldly kinds of wisdom. And now he's saying, but to the mature, we do impart wisdom, this true wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen or ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not, and we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. How could we ever attain to the wisdom that God has unless He pours it out into our hearts by His Spirit? And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's a mouthful. Paul has said a lot of things there. But what is important is the fact that he brings up over and over and over again. No matter what the world thinks that wisdom is, they're wrong. They are ultimately fools. They do not have the truth. They do not have true wisdom. They do not have the wisdom that comes from God alone, because they do not have Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That is where true wisdom comes from. It does not come based on your IQ or how many facts you know or how well you can perform on Jeopardy. God is the lifeblood of human wisdom, so much so that true wisdom cannot exist apart from true knowledge of Him. As a child of God, you are called to pursue a life of wisdom, seeking to honor and glorify God in all things as you are united to Him, the Spirit within you pouring out wisdom into your heart, sanctifying you, helping you to be conformed after the image of your Savior. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Pursue wisdom by pursuing Jesus. Pursue him in his body, his church, where he freely gives you his grace through his word, through his holy sacraments, through being diligent in prayer. This is how you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not done apart from his body. In order to pursue wisdom, you must make your participation in the life and worship of the church of the highest priority in your life. Do you see this worked out, manifested in your life? If you sat down and examined your attendance, your finances, your friendships, your values, what do you value? What is important to you? Pursue wisdom by pursuing Christ in every aspect of your life, seeking the things that are above, setting your mind on them, as Paul says in Colossians, seeking heavenly treasure, seeking to keep your priorities in check, making the honor and glory of God number one in everything that you do. Christ has made you his number one priority, so much so that he freely gave himself to be beaten, to be tortured and executed, to take your place on the cross, to free you from sin and death, so that you would be adopted as sons and daughters of God. You owe everything to him, and indeed he owns it all. So wisen up. Make your love for him evident in your life, to live a life of wisdom in service to Christ, seeking to mine the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that he has given to you, that he has revealed to you in his word. And in seeking him, you will find true peace. You will find true comfort. Though you may be poor and foolish in the eyes of the world, you will know that you are rich and blessed and wise in Christ. In all that you do, fear God and turn away from evil. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we are a foolish people. Oftentimes we would seek the wisdom of the world instead of relying upon you alone and your grace and mercy, and your word, your body, the church, to build us up. Father, we pray that you would help us to order our priorities correctly, that we would seek opportunities for growth, that that would be a priority in each of our families, that we would seek you in your body as we seek to be more involved in the life of the church and the fellowship of the saints, that we would seek to use the gifts that you have given us for your honor and glory to build each other up, that we would not seek the things of the world, the wisdom of the world, which is folly, but that we would seek Jesus Christ, that we would seek to live a life of thankful obedience, that we would seek your honor and your glory in all that we do, in all the endeavors that you put before us, and all the doors that you open in our lives. Father, we pray that you increase our faith. Help us to continue to mature. Teach us by your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.